interesting to me when the Bible says Jesus went up into a mountain. Whenever he prayed, the Bible says that he went up to a mountain to pray. Whenever he wanted to be closer to God, his Father, he would go up to a mountain. And now that he is with the multitudes, the Bible says that he went up into a mountain. And I believe that he knew very well how many people were at the place where, it says the great company or the multitude. He saw a great company come unto him, and he knew exactly. If he knows how many, how much hair we have, and for us, it's not very hard for God to count how much hair we have left in our heads, amen? But if he knows how much hair we have in our heads, he surely knew how many people were on this place. But still, the Bible says that he went up to a mountain. Now, did he need to get close to God or the Father? No, because he is the Son of God, but he still went up to pray to a mountain. And then, if we keep reading, the Bible says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes. The Bible says that we need to lift up our eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already for to harvest. And if he lifted up his eyes and he saw the multitudes and the people, we need to also do the same. We need to look up to the fields and lift up our eyes. Many times our eyes are just looking inward. Many times we are distracted. Many times we are just thinking about our problems and our needs. How many of you this morning have a need? Right? We all have needs. And how many have problems? Man, we all have problems. If we keep just looking at our needs and our problems and our life, we're going to end up, you know, many times we end up in desperation and even crying and woe is me. But he's like, hey, everybody has problems, and you need to lift up your eyes and look that there's people that are going through a sometimes even a worse place where you are. And then the Bible says in verse 6, and so he said, whence shall we buy bread? And so verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And God, when he asks a question, many times it is because he wants us to think. He wants us to, when he was looking for Adam and Eve, and he was saying, hey, where are you? He knew where Adam was, and he knew where Eve was. And he wants us to think, and many times he says that to prove us. And he said this to Philip, and he said, where are we going to find bread and so for them to eat? And he said, Philip, in verse 7, the Bible says, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? So Philip, in a way, was like, Lord, there's not enough money to buy so much bread that we'll be able to feed this multitude, and we won't be able to do that. If you go with me to another similar place in Scripture, Mark chapter 6. Now, don't lose your place in John, but if you go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, Mark 6:34, the Bible says, so he came out and saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. It is interesting that when we see the multitudes, we are moved with compassion. And about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, we had a man that came from Mexico City. His name is Sebastian. And Sebastian said, "Hey, Brother Munoz, can you show me the city so I can, so I would like to plant a church and I don't know where to go. And do you have any place where you think it'll be a good place for us to start a church?" So I said, "Oh no, you know, there's many different areas." And I showed him in a map where our city was and where our church was. And I said, "You know, we can go here on the northeast place, part of the city of Puebla." And we got in the car and we started driving and we drove through some colonias. Now Puebla has, at that time, about 10 years ago, we had over 200 different colonias, or I guess you might be call them suburbs. And so we drove throughout the city, and maybe for an hour and a half. And as we were driving throughout the city, I was thinking, "Wow, Puebla is big." You know, sometimes you forget how the place where you are, how big it is, and I was moved with compassion. About 5 years ago, now it's been a long time now, but I used to say, yeah, like a few months ago or last year, but I think it was like maybe about 5 years ago, I was able to go to China with some pastors, and we landed in Shanghai, and from there we took a train to Nanming or something like that. And we took a train, and as we were going on the train, we would see buildings like 30, 40 story buildings, and not only one building, but clusters of buildings, maybe 7 or 10 together, and houses, and then more buildings, houses, more buildings, houses, more buildings. It was like that the whole way, like 3 hours with buildings, like traveling through a whole city with buildings and houses, and it was incredible. And I was like, "Wow, someone needs to come to China." I didn't pray, "Lord, do you want me to come to China?" Even though I look Chinese, maybe I'll fit really good among them, but there are multitudes, and here in Oceanside, you can walk around, and California, the first time we flew over California was when I was 14 years old, and we took a flight from Mexico City on a Pan Am Airlines. Back then, I don't know what year, but As we crossed the Mexican border and we were flying, we could see it was a flight late on the night, and we could see all the lights from San Diego all the way to LA. And now, if you drive, there's like no empty spot all the way to maybe Santa Monica or Santa Barbara. I forgot what's the place over there in the north. But starting from Tijuana all the way to the north is like a huge mass and land full of people, and we need to lift up our eyes and look to the fields. So verse 37, the Bible says in Mark 6:37, and he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat." Now let's go back to Mark, and so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "Hey, it is your responsibility. It is you that need to give them to eat." How are we going to feed the multitudes? How are we going to take the bread? He's saying, "Hey, You need to give them the bread. Where is the bread? Give ye them to eat. And they said, Lord, there is no money to buy the bread. And but then we find that there is maybe a boy, I don't know, I would like to imagine that this boy, maybe he was a 10-year-old boy, maybe 12-year-old boy, that he had this bread. And in verse 9, the Bible says, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? So when Andrew saw this boy, he's like, Lord, there is this boy that has this many pieces of bread and fish, but this is not enough. Are we going to be able to feed the multitude? But this is what we have. Yet he mentioned that to Jesus. So, you know, that was not enough, but and he didn't turn the boy away if it was the boy that was bringing the food. I think, to me, the Bible doesn't say, but I would like to think that it was the boy that had more faith than the disciples. And our kids, I think many times they have more faith than we do. And like just a few minutes ago, Sarah, our daughter, was saying, hey, Dad, we need to go soul winning, like have a marathon and go with the teenagers and the jóvenes, go out and win souls. And, you know, they are the ones that are thinking, we have the Bible, we have our Lord, we have Jesus, and we need to go. Why don't we go? So it is the little ones that many times they have more faith than we do. And I would like to think that it was this boy that approached Andrew and said, hey, I have this. I heard that Jesus is looking for bread and he's looking for food. And I have this. Can I give it to the Lord? So the first thing that I would like to mention here is right here in verse 9, where the Bible says, there is a lad. There is a lad here. The field is too big. And many times we think that we don't have enough bread. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough manpower. But Lord, he says to us, hey, you need to go and feed the multitudes. And we're like, Lord, we don't have a millionaire in our church. We don't have the resources, and we don't have the buildings, and we don't have the car. And there's a missionary in Ecuador that he's going up to the mountains to 4,500 meters above the sea level. And Puebla is 2,000 meters over the sea level. He is going to 4,500 meters over the sea level. I don't know how much is that, but 2,000 meters is 7,000 feet, 14,000, and you add 500 more. So he's going 15,000 feet over the sea level and trying to reach a few families up in the mountains. And he's praying and saying, Lord, provide something. And finally, he was able to buy a Jeep. So they buy the Jeep, but now they kind of go up to the mountains because there are mountains. There is no roads. No one has ever gone in a car. So they are making way through the mountains and carving the mountains to go to this place, so to reach the people there. But imagine if he had said, Lord, there's no way. There's no way to go to the mountains and try to reach the people. It's their fault for living so high up, right? It's not my fault. They decided to go up to the mountains. Who is crazy enough to live up in the mountains, 4,500 meters or maybe 15,000 feet? But there was a brother, a missionary, that said, maybe I don't have the resources. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But if God wants me to do it, I am going to, I'm going to pray, and surely God is going to provide. So there is this mentality, Lord, we can't do it. You made a mistake. You picked the wrong person. You picked the wrong place for me. You took me to this place and to the mountain or to the desert, and you gave me these people and placed me around thousands, but I can't do the work, or the work is too great, the field is too big, and it's only me, like the prophet. It is only me, Lord. And Jesus, I think, he answers and says, hey, it is not only you, it is you and me together. Let's feed the people. But they are 5,000. It doesn't matter. Let's feed the people. But they are 10,000. It doesn't matter. Let's feed the people. I want you to feed the people. But there are 15,000 or 20,000. Puebla has over 2 million people. How are we going to take the bread when Jesus is saying, hey, feed the people? And yes, many times we might get frustrated, but it's one at a time. And it is the faith of a little boy. The greatest need at hand is to feed the people. Jesus said, how many loaves have ye? He asked that in Mark chapter 6, verse 38. How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Back here in John chapter 6 and verse 9, the first thing that we see is the presence of the lad. The presence of the lad. God cannot do much with you if you are absent. God cannot do much with us if we are not present. And we have too many unavailable Christians today. We have too many absentee Christians. While the world is dying and on their way to hell, we cannot be absent. We need to be present, and we need to be there. So the Bible says there is a lad here, right now. There is a lad here. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says that Isaiah said, here am I. I am here, Lord. Use me. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, Daniel answered the same way, and he said, here am I. For Abraham, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 11, Abraham answered and said, here am I. Isaiah didn't say, I'll be there. Daniel didn't say, I'll be there. Abraham didn't say, I'll be there. We need to be available all the time. We had in Bible college, long, long time ago now, maybe 25 years ago, and I still remember when one of our teachers or the dean of the college, Brother Ross, he would ask during chapel, hey, who can go and help this lady and cut her grass? And there was always someone there. His name is Matt Johnson. And Matt will be like, here, I can do it. And the next week, hey, who can help this? Another lady that has boxes that she needs to move them into a storage place. And he'll be like, right here, I can do it. And so this morning I put a message on our family WhatsApp. I say, who can make pancakes? And thankfully, Hannah and Caitlin made the pancakes this morning. Amen. And but we need more people to say, hey, Lord, here am I. And this boy, he had that attitude. He said, he didn't think, Lord, what are you doing taking my food away from me? How am I going to survive? Do you know that if someone takes away the only piece of bread and the only Mountain Dew that you have, you're not going to die. Man, like the only thing that you have is, it's like a concha. I mean, pan dulce. And then in Mexico, a Coca-Cola, because you, a concha, you eat, every other bread in the world, you eat it with milk, amen? But conchas and Coca-Cola, man, or barritas y coca de, coca, barritas de piña y coca. But if someone takes that away from you, you know, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. So this boy, he didn't say, Lord, but you have everything. What are we going to do, or what am I going to do? This boy was present. The other thing that we can see is John 6 verse 9. It says, there is a lad here. Not only see with the presence of the boy, but we also see his position, as in he was not a prince or a king or a lawyer or a singer or a businessman, someone important. He was just a lad. He was just a lad. So for God to use someone, we don't have to be like someone very important. We don't have to be, Lord, but I didn't graduate from Bible college. I cannot go soul winning. That would be our excuse, right? Lord, I'm not very intelligent as Pastor Carlos Almonzo. I mean, amen, Pastor. and I cannot go soul winning. Or I am not as, I don't have all the resources as this other pastor or this other brother. Or no, this boy, he was just a lad. He was just a lad. And guess what? God can use anybody. God can use anybody. God used the lady that of Sarepta when God told Isaiah, the prophet, to go to her, and she was going to take care of the prophet. And God uses anybody. And we just need to have a willing heart. Amen? We just need to have a willing heart. But he was just a lad. He didn't have a title. He didn't have a college degree. He didn't have a career. He was nothing special. He was just a lad. All right, I'm going to try to hurry because our time is about gone. But we also see not only the presence of this boy, of the lad, and his position, but we also see his possession. He had five pieces of bread and two small fishes. That's all he had. And many times God is going to ask, hey, what is in your hand? When God asked Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, well, I only have this thing. And God said, okay, throw it and see what happens when you do that. And it turned into a serpent. And then he grabbed it back again. But what is it that you have right now that is your possession that maybe God can use? Maybe you have a little bit of intelligence, amen? You can use that for God's glory and honor. Maybe you have a dollar to give to the offering. Maybe God wants to use that for his honor. Maybe you have, we have doctors that every now and then they come to Mexico and they make trips from the States to Mexico, and they help, they go up in the mountains and help people. And they use that. They use what they have, what God has given them. They are not like, oh, I'm intelligent because I was born this way. I'm so intelligent. I'm not going to give my talents and gifts to God. No, it's people that recognize God has given me all this, and I'm going to give back to God and give back to the community. And if I can use my talents and if I can use what God has given me for his glory and for his honor to be able to feed these people, I'll do that. So this boy, he had this bread and fishes, and he said, Lord, it's not much, but I'm willing to give it to you. And the fourth thing that we see is his participation. He took action. He knew what he needed to give to the Lord, and he took action. Now, his participation was right then, right now. It wasn't like, Lord, man, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to be a missionary, but in 50 years. Lord, I'm going to go soul winning, but in 20 years. Lord, I'm gonna do great things for you, but when I turn 90. No, he participated right there then. There we had a neighbor, his name was Aurelio, and God convicted my heart to witness to doctor. He was a medical doctor, and it was our next door neighbor. And so I went to his house and I talked to him and I said, hey, I would like to talk to you. And I witnessed to him and I went through the plan of salvation. And he said, Arturo, you know, I am young. I'm 35. At the time, he was 35. And I think I was 17, 18, maybe 19, because I was already in Bible college. And he said, I'm young, Arturo, but when I turn 40, I'm going to get saved. Thank you for talking to me. I said, okay. So 5 years went by. He turned 40. And I remembered. So I went to Aurelio, Dr. Aurelio, and I said, hey, Dr. Aurelio, you need to get saved. And he said, Arturo, I am still young. I am enjoying life. I'll give my life to God later. Guess what? When he turned 41 or 42, just almost like right away, he died of a heart attack. 41 or 42, gone. I am, 47, I think. I don't remember. I don't count my years anymore. But and I am enjoying life, but life goes by so fast. And this boy, he could have said, Lord, I am present, right? I'm just a lad. I have this. And yes, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And I know the need. And I know you can do miracles. And I'm going to give it to you. But let me think about it. And he could have gone home, pray, right? Because many times we want to turn things into spiritual things when we know we need to do it right away. And maybe he went home, prayed 3 days, and finally he's like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna give my bread and fish to the Lord. And then he comes back to the place where all these 5,000 people and more were 3 days before. And guess what? No one would have been there. But Lord, I have this. I want to give it to you. And God would have said, you know what? Too late. Too late. I wanted it 3 days ago, and thank you, but it's too late. Sometimes it is too late when we're supposed to give something to the Lord, we need to give it right away. So he gave it to the Lord. God transformed that and multiplied that, and guess what? He fed 5,000 men, and God, and I believe that it was more than that, right? Because it was only men, and God multiplied because why? Because there was a little boy that was willing to give that bread and fish to the Lord. May God help us to be willing and to be present and able and participate and say, Lord, where do you want me to participate? Not in 20 years, not in 3 days, like right now. What is it that you want me to do? And God is going to bless us. Amen. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to see what you can do with this boy and help us, Lord, to be able to be used by you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.